What is going on? Welcome back to the TN Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan, and I'm going to be breaking down pretty much a pre-trade deadline podcast. There will be a post-trade deadline podcast, but right now, this is the pre-trade deadline podcast, and I'm just going to talk about like what I think about these guys getting traded, my thoughts, what I want in return, pretty much everything that I pretty much think about this team going to this trade deadline. I'm also going to break down what's happened the last week with this team. There's been some things that are going on. The Tigers have played some games, so I think it's fair to talk about it. So let's get right into it. So the Tigers in this last week have gone 3-5. They took 2 out of 3 against the Padres, and then they lost 3 out of 4 against the Blue Jays in Toronto. I will say this team looked a little better this series. Even though they did only win one game, I think every single game they played some competitive baseball, besides that last game. The last game was pretty trash. But the first three games, they probably should have won 2 out of 3 and probably would have if they had Andrew Chafin didn't come up with the team because of COVID restrictions. He didn't get the vaccine. He was the only player. So the Tigers called up Brian Garcia. And honestly, I was quite impressed with Brian Garcia. He pitched 3 2/3 innings. He gave up 2 runs. He wasn't good, but he wasn't horrible. And his changeup looked pretty good. He got a couple strikeouts. I was pleasantly impressed. He was returned to AAA. The Tigers now are trying to convert him to a starter. Who knows? This may just be like a project or something. I don't really know, but they gave Garcia a shot. That was the 15th different starter this year, which is just insane. These injuries have been ridiculous this year. But they gave Garcia a shot, and I didn't hate it. He was pretty good until the very end. And that fourth inning, he couldn't get out of it. And, I mean, this is like his third or fourth start since being converted, so he hasn't really stretched out all the way. So definitely someone to pay attention to. It seems like the Tigers are trying to experiment. Another experiment, it seems like, is reliever Derek Law, who blew the game, actually, in game two or three of the series. So Derek Law is a journeyman. He was signed to a minor league contract. He bounced around. He was on the Giants back in 2016, 17, 18. He actually was really good his rookie year, and then he kind of fell off. I think he probably likely dealt with injuries. He got a run with Toronto, actually, who he has played in 2019, and now he signed with Detroit. And he comes out, and his velo is faster than it ever been. He was throwing 96 up in the zone, and his slider, I don't know if it was a slider or a cutter, but it was saying slider. It was moving really fast. Maybe it was like a sweeper type of pitch, but I was definitely interested in Law. He was coming out. He threw three different – I think he even threw a changeup. However, he did give up a home run because he threw a slider every single pitch at that bat to Teoscar Hernandez. And, I mean, one of those pitches, you got to sit slider, and Teoscar just nuked it. He shouldn't have gotten to that scenario. He hit a batter. He nearly – broke Vladdy's arm or finger, and then he made a crappy error. So, yeah, I mean, he's someone that I'm going to be interested in because I saw the stuff. He looked pretty solid. Obviously, his control is likely the issue and why he's not on a major league team, but perhaps the Tigers think they found something in him. We see this all the time where these random veteran relievers come up and pitch really well, and Chris Fetter knows how to get the most out of his pitchers, so perhaps maybe they think they found someone. I'd like to see maybe 3 or 4 more games of him pitching, especially because the relievers are about to get traded with him. But I probably wouldn't expect anything. But again, I think it's fun to speculate. Other things that happened. Drew Hutchison got a start. I don't think anyone really cares. Garrett Hill somehow managed to get through 5 innings like he does every game, even though he's very, very bad. Matt Manning rehabbed. Matt Manning is back tomorrow, actually, which is great to see. I mean, Matt Manning was really bad, but he's someone at least the organization wants us to think that they have someone in him. So it's going to be interesting. He was obviously part of the starting rotation to enter the season. Only he's thrown 8 innings all year, so he's coming back. That's exciting. Bo Brisky, another name. He started his rehab assignment in AAA, went like 3 innings. He's going to be back soon. I've been very impressed with Bo Brisky. He started off really rough, was giving up a home run, but the Tigers do What they do better than any team, it feels like, is just prevent home runs, and Brisky's last couple outings has been really effective. I see a possible back-end starter with him, and I want to see him back. Other guys, Eron, they said that he's going to be back in like the third week of August. He's back in Lakeland. He's throwing. So the Tigers' rotation, it's been really bad this year, but it's also been very injured, and you're going to see some guys get back. Also, Tyler Alexander made a start. He was okay, but I like him as his long reliever role. He's just a solid six or seven spot starter guy. So that's kind of catching up with the pitchers, the bats. Javi Baez had a nice series once again as he continues to just dominate on the road and suck at home. If we're looking at his splits currently on the road this season, he has a 116 WRC plus, and at home he has a 35. He's up to a 1 WAR this season, which I like to look at WAR, and I find it interesting. He's up to 1, though. He continues to make a lot of errors at shortstop. He made some this team has made a lot of stupid errors that have led to runs recently, which has been very annoying. But, Javi, he's graded out as a good defender. He's a good defender still. He just makes a lot of errors. Perhaps maybe second base would be better for him in the future, but the Tigers don't have any shortstop or second baseman shortstop that could come up and play short. Maybe they'll give Ryan Kreidler a shot, but maybe Javi at second if the plan is Scope is not going to be on a team next year. But Scope and Javi up the middle has been really good, even though neither have hit super well. But yeah, Javi had a nice series, so just worth the shout out. And then another guy who had a really solid series was Willy Castro. Willy Castro hit 2 home runs, bringing his total up to 4. His WRC plus is only 77, but the Tigers continue to just, they really like him for some reason, and they just continue to push the narrative that he's like, there's some potential and we got to be patient and all of that. There was an article by Chris McCaskey, and it's, I don't know, I didn't read it, but it just seems like the Tigers just really want us to think that Willy Castro could be someone good, and we continue to not see it. And it's because the discipline sucks. He's walking 3% at a time. He chases like 40% at a time. He has power. He has some raw power, but you're not going to make good contact when you're swinging at pitches 2 feet out the zone. You know what I mean? He's not striking out that much this year. His strikeout rate has actually decreased a good amount, which is a positive thing. And that's probably why he's hitting 245 rather than 220 like last year. But yeah, I expect Willy Castro. I mean, he got 450 plate appearances last year. I did not even realize he's probably going to get around 450 this year again. The Tigers really think he's kind of like the Jacoby Jones 2.0. He has been okay in the outfield, however, but the future is in the infield with him. So that's kind of the Willy Castro, my Willy Castro thoughts. Candy had a couple extra base hits. Didn't really do much after that amazing series. He had an amazing series against the Padres. I don't know if my last podcast, I think it was after. Yeah, it was. So yeah, Candy, he was definitely in a debate of being non-tendered. He was almost surely going to. He was at about a 65 WRC plus. And then out of nowhere, he just hits like 4 home runs in three games, boosts his WRC plus up into the 80s. He's at 83 right now. And now with this hot streak, if he continued his hot streak, he's going to hit his way onto the team next year. Here's the thing with Candy. Look, he's kind of really going to end up with around a 1 WAR, I'd guess like an 88 WRC plus. That's not that good, and that's not a starting caliber player, but who are you going to start? You traded Isak away. You have Ryan Kreidler, but Kreidler, I mean, he needs to prove himself. You're not just going to put him out there as a starter, especially if you have intentions of winning. So I don't really know what to do with Candy. You have to wait it out. It's going to be a very interesting discussion going into the offseason. And then the last guy I want to talk about, just give a quick little prop, just a shout out to Victor Reyes. Reyes has actually been hitting the ball really well lately. Got his WRC plus up to 100. I guess he had a bad, he's 0 for his last, I know he's not, he had an 0 for 4, but yeah, in this last, I mean, since this last podcast episode, he's had a 128 WRC plus and is hitting 318. Had a nice walk-off. I was at that game. It was fun to see. But yeah, that's kind of your breakdown of guys. The bullpen looked good. Alex Lang had a really good game. Joe Jimenez is actually a machine right now, and he is very underrated. I'd say he's been the best reliever this season according to WAR, and I think he's been the best reliever this season. I would say his stuff is really good, and he's stopped giving up home runs, and a team should want to pay up for him. I mean, he's been amazing. So yeah, let's talk about, let's transition into the trade deadline talk. So there's three guys that I expect to get traded, or at least I really like, I think they should, and I'd probably be annoyed that they won't get traded. First guy is Michael Fulmer. This is definitely going to be a tough one because Fulmer's been on this team for so long and is, I mean, I, at least by most fans, I think is liked. So Fulmer's been interesting this year. His velo decreased and he's walking double the batters he did last season. However, his home run per nine is down to 0.23. He is absolutely dominant against right-handed hitters. If you need someone that can get swings and misses and can get right-handed hitters out, Michael Fulmer is your guy. Fulmer's got a 2.59 FIP against them this year. Fulmer is very good at inducing weak contact, though, how, as I'm trying to say. Going to head on to his baseball savant really quickly just to see what's going on. But his barrel rate is probably in the 99th, 100th percentile. Fulmer, he's not a closer by any means, but he is a solid eighth inning guy. If you have three right-handed batters, if you started a lefty, for example, and you have three right-handed batters due up, Michael Fulmer's your go-to guy. He doesn't give up home runs. His whiff rate is in the 80th percentile. His slider is a wheelie. Check the run value on that. Yeah, negative 11 with a 141 batting average against and a 27% hard hit rate. Michael Fulmer, he's a two-pitch pitcher, power slider guy. Someone's going to want him. Someone's going to give you something for him because he's a very solid reliever. However, don't get your hopes up on a Fulmer return. He's only due 5 mil. He's got a cheap contract, but wow. I did not know Fulmer threw his slider that much. 65%. Maybe that's what the Tigers think they have in Derek Law. But anyways, because he threw a shit ton of sliders. Anyways, but Fulmer, yeah. I think you get like a Reese Olson type of return. Maybe a little better. Like Reese Olson was like the 12th ranked prospect in the system. The Tigers did really well to get to maximize on Norris's value, and they got a very solid prospect because that's what I'm hoping they do again. Maybe get one or two prospects that you like. If it's a pitcher, go ahead and get a pitcher, but I'd prefer bats. I'm going to just say and go on a limit. I want to see bats added to the system because that's clearly the problem. The Tigers know how to develop pitchers, but you need hitters in this damn farm system. You have a 77 WRC plus as a team. You need freaking hitters into your farm system. But Fulmer, solid, really solid arm. Gets righties out. Good stuff. Should be affordable. I think he's going to be a nice deadline. He's going to be traded today or tomorrow. And I will literally give you my left leg if he doesn't get traded because I am sure he will get traded. If the Tigers were to hold on to him, that would be just very stupid. I think everyone in that clubhouse knows that Fulmer is going to get traded. And there's another guy who we'll transition to next. Those who might are opposed to trading him, I'd like to know why. You have a 29-year-old reliever with a pretty hefty injury history who has shown regression a little bit. And you also don't have any hitters. I don't see the point of keeping this guy around with plans to extend him because, you know, roster construction, you got to have other priorities. You can develop. We've already seen Will Vest, Jason Foley, Alex Lane in the last year, Kyle Funkhauser. Even Angel De Jesus is starting to come around, it looks like. This team can develop relievers. You don't have to be paying one of them that has an injury history. So that's my thoughts on Fulmer. That's the first guy. The other guy I think is definitely getting traded is Andrew Chafin. Chafin was signed to a 2-year contract with an opt-out after year one. Getting a little bit more money than Fulmer, but not much. Chafin has been more effective than Fulmer this season, and he's kind of your opposite. He's your left-handed reliever that you want. If you started a righty and have three lefties, Andrew Chafin, call him up. He's been very good. His slider is ridiculously insane. This season against lefties, wow, he's actually been better against righties. His K to BB ratio is 7.3. And yeah, he can get both sides out, but yeah, he's just a quality lefty reliever. And the fact that he can pitch against righties is very valuable. But yeah, his K rate has seen a climb this season. His walk rate is low, and then his home runs per nine is the lowest it has been since 2018, where he didn't give a home run all year. But I don't really have anything to say about Chafin. Like, there's no weakness to this guy. He's a very solid seventh or eighth inning guy. He doesn't have overpowering stuff. His fastball is not amazing, In fact, let's see what his run value is. Yeah, his fastball actually, his sinker, which he throws the most, has a 2-run value, but his slider's just been ridiculously good. So hitters are hitting .044 against it. And the X-Wilb was 154, so it's not like he's getting lucky. So, yeah, Chafin, he's inducing ground balls at a higher rate than last year and the year before. 11 K per nine, great K to walk ratio. There's nothing you can really say. And I don't see the reason to hold on to Chafin. I think he's probably going to test the market considering he's not on a contender and he can get equal or more money. You can get some solid value for Chafin. I think about a similar return to Falmer. Maybe you package Falmer and Chafin together and get like a little better prospect. I'd say for each of them individually, you get at best case scenarios two top 30 guys, and I think both of them are like the 22nd and like 25th ranked prospect. But maybe if you combine them, you can get like a top 15, top 10 guy, or more. I mean, or top like a top 15 guy plus like another top 30 guy. I think if you go one for one, you can probably get like a top. If you give both of them for one guy, I'm hoping you get like a 50 FV guy. Because that's pretty valuable. You have two. But I think you're probably going to – the Tigers will probably add like 3 to 4 guys, maybe 2 to 3 bats for these two guys combined. Maybe they get traded to different teams. Maybe they get traded together. But getting depth into this farm is just the biggest thing of this trade deadline. So I'm hoping they can do it. There is no reason that Falmer and Chafin should not be traded. Both are really solid relievers. So, yeah, that's my stance on that. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll go to Joe Jimenez. All right, so next up on the list of guys is Joe Jimenez. So Joe Jimenez, he's different than Falmer and Chafin because he has team control. He has team control past this year for next year. So if the Tigers don't trade Joe Jimenez now, I can almost surely guarantee he gets traded next year. But I think the Tigers should capitalize on a season right now and trade him. There's absolutely no reason not to. So Joe Jimenez, he's had an interesting story, obviously. He came up, was a really highly talented prospect as a reliever in 2017, and he struggled. In 18, he really turned the corner and came along and was looking like the closer to future for the first half of the season. But then after that, Joe Jimenez he really started to struggle. 2019, he was the eighth inning guy, then with Shane Green. His Ks have always been good. He's always had that stuff, but the problem is he struggled with command. Walks have been a little bit high, but the home runs have haunted him. He had almost a 3 home run per nine in 2020, a 2 home runs per nine in 2019. So he can never be trusted. However, Chris Vedder came in and Jimenez really came along in the second half. He struggled mightily with walks, but the home run rate really took a nice drop in 2021. And then he was tendered. He's only getting $1.8 million this year. And this year he has almost a 13 K per nine, the highest of his career, a 1.85 walks per nine, the lowest of his career by almost half a walk per inning. And his 0.69 home run per nine, guess what? That's also the lowest of his career. He has taken his velo is the fastest it's ever been. Everything about Joe Jimenez has been better than every other year this year. I would argue that Jimenez has been the best reliever all year. His home run rate isn't nearly as low as Chafin and Falmer, but that's just because he gives up more fly balls. He only has a 30. He's a fly ball. He throws a lot of high fastballs, so he gives up fly balls. Pretty simple. But his barrel rate is still it's average. It's in the 49th percentile, and his home runs per nine is only .69. Again, that's also the best of his career, and again, it's low. But yeah. Jimenez has just really taken a step forward. I think the reason why is control. His slider has been just great this year. Actually, according to run value, every single pitch he's thrown has been above average. But yeah, the fastball is just it blows by you, and it's hard. It comes in fast. You know, it's high in the zone. It's got some nice vertical and horizontal movement. I couldn't really tell you like what type of movement and all of that. I'm not there yet, but I mean, if you watch the games, you can see. I mean, these hitters cannot catch up. His whiff rate, every single statistic, his whiff rate is in the 84th percentile. His chase rate's in the 92nd percentile. So you might be wondering why trade Joe Jimenez. Well, Joe Jimenez has became really good out of nowhere. You notice that? That's a trend with the Tigers, and they've done it quite a few times now in the last 2 years. So I trust the ability of them to be able to do that again with other relievers. And with Joe Jimenez, he's going to be making $3 to $4 million next year through arbitration. Probably going to finish with around a 1.5 WAR. And he's also a free agent after next year, and then he's going to start getting real money. I say his value is higher than it's the highest it'll ever be, potentially. And it's not like you're risking anything by trading him. It's not like a Tarik Skubal, who I'm going to have fun talking about that one. But it's not like a Tarik Skubal where if you trade him, you could possibly give up a low-end number one starting pitcher. Like a really nice, you could be giving up, a really solid eighth inning or ninth inning guy. But so what? You already got a bunch of other relievers that can pitch. And it's a reliever. I know this team's 20 games under 500. So I think you capitalize on the value. I think the return for Joe definitely needs to be decent. I'd say probably like at least top 20 guy, but maybe two top 20 guys. I'd probably have a higher asking price just because, he's cheaper. He has more control, and he statistically has been better than Fulmer and Chafin this year. I mean, Chafin is actually not really Chafin, but Fulmer, yes. The thing with Joe is high leverage. He hasn't really pitched a ton of high leverage, but if you need a guy to lock it down into 6th or 7th inning, boom, Joe Jimenez is your go-to guy. And I think a lot of these teams need relievers. So I'd say trade Joe for the best offer. I mean, I just can't see unless he dominates next year as like a closer, I don't see his value going any more higher. So you see what you can get for him, and I think you take the best offer. If the offers are really bad, then keep him, and then move him in the offseason. But I just cannot see teams not wanting this guy. He's been amazing with them. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Joe. He's been really good this season. I say trade him. You need to get a decent return for him. And yeah, that's the third guy that I think actually will get traded. Chafin, Fulmer, and Jimenez. Those are kind of your three guys. So the next guy we're going to talk about is Greg Soto. So Soto is probably your most valued trade chip. Even though Soto's been worse than some of these guys, Soto, just like a lot of his bullpen, excels at not giving up home runs. Let's take a look at him. And he's actually, I know he's really wild, but his walk rate's actually the lowest it's been of his career by like a very solid amount. He's only walking 393 per nine, which equates to, let's see, the percentage, 10%. He's not striking out as many guys. He's actually at lowest since his rookie year when he was a starter. But the home run and walks decline, I would exchange any day for the home run, for the strikeout decline. And his WAR is actually the highest it's ever been. His FIP is only 327. His ERA is lower than every other stat, but Greg Soto is a pitcher. He's like, you understand why he's pitching in the ninth inning when you see him pitch. He throws 100 miles per hour. Nobody can hit his fastball. His fastball's really good. It's got a -5 run value. The problem is, though, his slider. His slider was actually elite last year. Had a 138 batting average against. This year, it's 318, and he just can't control it. He still gets whiffs on it, but he can't control it. If he could control his slider, he can become elite. And that's probably the argument to keeping Greg Soto, because he's got some legitimate upside. He's already making improvements again with the control, and the home runs per nine is ridiculous. It's only 0.26. He's getting his ground ball rate's not even that low. It's just, he's given up weak contact when the ball's in the air, apparently. His barrel rate's 4.8. Oh shoot. Wow. His barrel rate's only in the 37th percentile. With a 4.8 barrel rate. What? Oh, it's because it's 8%. That's why. Okay, so hold on. That changes things up a little bit. He gives up a lot of hard contact, but I'm not worried about that. Soto gives every other statistic's pretty good, but the home runs per nine, that might be a little deceiving. His xFIP is 4.36. But basically what I'm trying to say is that Soto's got some, like, he's got some legitimate closer upside, and he knows how to pitch in the ninth inning. And the Tigers seem kind of reluctant to trade him, and I get it. But sorry, I just saw a tweet about Andrew Chafin. It seems there's a tweet about some guys looking for left-handed relievers. But anyways, Another speaking of left-handed reliever, Soto, I just see there's possible closer upside, but he's, you know, relievers are such volatile pitchers that you might want to trade him now when he has value. He's got a ton of control. He's only 27. So is Joe, but he's only 27, and he's got control through 2026. So if I'm the Tigers, I want a pretty solid return, but I'm not asking for Gleyber Torres for Matt Boyd here. Like, I want to get a good return for him. I probably am asking for like two top 15 guys. I had some fake trades for him. I could break it down, honestly, if you want. Here, I'm going to pull it up right now. So I have one to Houston. I had a couple to Toronto, but they just don't make sense. Or sorry, San Francisco, because San Francisco's probably not in the market for a reliever like that. But my first trade was Pedro Leon, Luis Baez, and Alex Santos. This is the last one I like, but Pedro Leon seems like a solid utility player. He could play third base, which the Tigers might be looking for a third baseman next year. So I thought Pedro Leon makes a lot of sense. He's a 45 future value guy. I think he's like seventh or eighth in Houston system. Houston's got a pretty trash system also. And then there's Luis Baez. He seems like a legitimate bat, probably like corner outfield bat, but he's only 18 in a development project, but I thought it was interesting. You know, take a flyer on a guy, and then another guy with some upside, probably a reliever, Alex Santos. Three plus pitches, really good breaking balls. The Tigers like their sliders. So I thought that was just a three, you know, if they want to go more, get more quantity of guys. That was my, like, the quantity trade. And then there's another trade, which is more of the quality trade, and that's, I got to find that one. It was Colin Barber, who's like their number fourth prospect, like top five in their system. Again, no, it's a weaker system. It's not like, you know, you're getting a top 100 prospect. I don't see a top 100 prospect getting traded for Soto. Just looking at other trades, like a trade I kind of used to get an understanding of what his value is was Diego Castillo, who was traded to the Astros, and then also Clay Holmes, who was like a very controllable guy. That's one thing I'm going to point out when we get to like Alex Lang. So, sorry, another tweet about Andrew Chafin. He's going to get traded next day, so, yeah. You know, I'm on the lookout. So, Colin Barber, he got a 70 hit tool grade with Fangraphs. I want someone that can hit, you know. I know the Tigers love guys with good hit tools that can't do anything else, but it seems like Barber could possibly be a solid corner outfielder, 45 power. If he can give me 10 to 15 home runs and not, you know, strike out low strikeout rates, you know, that's a solid low-end starter that you can get for a reliever. And then David Hensley, another guy with a solid hit grade who can play third base. I would like to, if the Tigers could get some infield into their farm system. It seems like they kind of lack, other than Ryan Kreidler. Tigers got a little bit of outfield depth, I will say, with Daz and Badu and Carpenter all near the majors. I would like to see him maybe add a reliever, an infielder or two for that, which is why I did that. So that's my stance on Soto. You know, hold out for a solid deal. There's no pressure to trade him, but if you get a solid deal, trade him and shop him. Don't just like be like, no, we don't want to trade him. Have a motivation to trade him, but, you know, hold out until you get the right offer. And I just don't see like teams like being desperate for Soto, so I don't think the Tigers trade Soto. Next up, Alex Lang. So this is going to be quick right here because I'm almost sure he won't get traded. I just want to say one thing. We saw today the Yankees acquire Scott Efros. I don't know how to say his name, but he was a rookie reliever. He's 28 years old. He came out of nowhere with the Cubs, has over a one war, and has been dominant, but he has a crap ton of control in a rebuilding team like the Cubs. You don't need guys like that. They showed, like, if you're a reliever, you don't have to you don't have to hoard onto your relievers, and they got a really solid prospect in Hayden Wesneski back. Lang is another guy. If it's to say Bodie's younger, he can get you a legitimate value, a legit top 10 prospect in the organization. So that's just my stance on Lang, but I'm almost sure the Tigers won't trade Lang. Same thing with Will Vest and Jason Foley. If a team comes offering me a solid prospect, at least for me, I'm doing that trade any day. But obviously, the Tigers are different. I'm not Alavila. So that's my thoughts on that. Next guy we'll talk about is Tarik Skubal. So a week ago, we saw an Athletic article by Ken Rosenthal saying that the Tigers are willing to listen to offers for Tarik Skubal. So Skubal this season has been obviously a breakout year. 3.25 xERA, 2.98 FIP, 3.37 xFIP. The ERA is a little high, but the Tigers defense decides to stop playing defense when he's pitching. Sierra is 3.53. So again, he's been a very solid, like a two or three starter this year. I'd say like a two starter. 2.8 WAR. He's been a top 25, 30 pitcher this year. He's been very good. And the thing with Skubal, though, is at the time, you know, he can get you a very solid package. And there seems like there's teams that are willing to give up a lot. We saw a couple days ago, Luis Castillo, he got traded to the Seattle Mariners. He's been a very solid, like, two-starter, very, very underrated pitcher with Cincinnati. And he had a year and a half of control. And the Mariners paid up. They ended up getting Noelvi Marte, who's a top 25 prospect, according to Fangraphs. A lot of different, you know, he's a top 100 prospect on every single major outlet, and then another guy in Edwin Arroyo, who also has been highly touted as a prospect on some outlets, and then another, so two guys that could possibly be like above average defensive shortstops who can hit, and then there's more too. So you know, and that was only a year and a half of Luis Castillo. Skubal isn't quality wise Luis Castillo, but he is a very, very solid pitcher, and he's got control through 2027. So obviously, the Tigers are going to have to get a very good return. I just think it's kind of stupid that this is like a thing anyway. You know, you have your best pitcher developed since Verlander, potentially, and now you're trading him in year two. Year three, I guess, because he kind of pitched in 2020, but whatever. You're going to trade him away? Like, what are we doing here, you know? The Tigers rebuilding, obviously, they didn't get enough depth in their farm system. Whose fault was that, by the way? Whose freaking fault was that? It was Alavila's fault. But now you're going to trade one of our core pieces for more prospects that we probably won't be able to develop because we're absolutely garbage at that? You know what I mean? If you get an amazing offer, and I'm talking amazing offer, I've heard of the Blue Jays as a possible team that could go get them. Like, if I'm the Tigers, you're giving me Gabe Moreno for sure. You know, a top 10 prospect, you're giving me that for sure. And then you're giving me more. Give me like Jordan Groshans too, and some more. You know, I like that there's a first baseman prospect I kind of like. Let me find him. All right, I think his name's Tanner Morris. But yeah, you're giving me him, and you're giving me more. Give me Nate Pearce. Like, I want an absolute package to move Skubal. And I think that's what the Tigers believe too. I don't think the Tigers are seriously shopping him, but I think they are making it out there, making it aware to other teams that, you know, I'll take some offers. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I don't think that Skubal's getting traded, and I don't want him to get traded. Only if it's like an obvious overpay and it's going to help this team a lot. But the Tigers, they're looking for like major league ready guys, so it's just, I can't see it happening. It's sorry, Skubal's not getting traded. If he gets traded, then yeah, we'll break it down on the podcast for sure. But I just can't see him getting traded. You can't trade your best guy. One of the only guys that have actually worked out in this rebuild. And, you know, you're just digging yourself into more of a hole. So that's four down. Not really a huge breakdown on Skubal as a pitcher because I just don't see him getting traded. I don't, you know. But last guy will do it. Well, Jamer Candelario I'll bring up just because a team might be like, hey, are you going to tender him? Tigers are like, nope. Okay, we'll give you something for him. And then they get something, but I doubt that happens. And then Scope, a team might need of defense, but he's got a player option that he's almost surely going to accept. And he's getting paid a little bit too much. Tigers have to eat some money if they want to move Scope. And I don't think there's like a unless they really want Kreidler or someone to come up, there isn't like a desperation to trade him. So the only last guy, though, I do say that I think could get traded is Robbie Grossman. I think there's two scenarios with Robbie Grossman. He either gets designated for an assignment or he gets traded to a team. And the Tigers are going to have to eat some money. So Grossman's contract, $5 million. Nothing too much, but a little bit of money. You know, a little too much as depth. He's going to get picked up as depth somewhere. But he also has really good splits. And this is the only reason why he could be worth anything. This season, as against lefty pitchers, he currently has a .364 batting average, a .479 on-base percentage, and a .519 slugging percentage, good for a .189 WRC+. He's been absolutely ridiculous against righties, and this isn't a solid amount of plate appearances. It's almost 100 plate appearances. So Grossman, clearly, he's a good bat if you need a right-handed bat against left-handed pitchers. And I'm sure a team is going to need that and want that. So I think Grossman is a lock to get, you know, to not be on the Tigers on August 3rd. Will a team pay a very, very low-end prospect or, you know, some international money or something to get him? Or will they just, you know, compete with other teams to sign him? He probably gets maybe a major league deal. Surely he gets, you know, a minor league deal with some type of incentive to get to the majors, because there is some value with him right there. But outside of that, there's nothing. You know, he cannot. This season, for some reason, he just stopped hitting right-handed pitchers. Something with his swing, I don't know. He's striking out 30% of the time. He's not even walking that much. He's hitting 143, and he has got no power. So there's really just not. There's no hope with Grossman at this point. When you have Akil Baddoo, it seems like the Tigers really like, you know, or at least they want to see him again, get a closer look. Because, I mean, they know what they saw last year. And then you have Daz Cameron, who did okay in his major league debut. You got Kerry Carpenter, you're going to have to add to the 40. Maybe you get a look at him. There's just no reason for Robbie to be on this roster past the trade deadline. And it seems like the Tigers, they're aggressively shopping him. So maybe a team, it doesn't seem like there's been really much rumors about him. But if someone needs some depth, or if someone wants a fourth outfielder that can play the corners and hit righty or hit lefties, there you go. So that's your thought. I did an over-under on my story of 2.5 players to get traded. I'm going to go to over. I say to trade 3. They definitely trade Chafin and Fulmer. Those guys, I'd say, are essentially locks. And then one of Jimenez or Grossman get traded. So that's where I think. I think the trade deadline, I think trading these relievers makes a lot of sense with where you're at right now. You got obviously need to have some maintenance with this rebuild, because it's clearly not working right now. And, you know, next year you have a path to be better. You're getting more bats, and obviously, or I'd hope they spend some money. It's not obvious, but I'd hope they spend some money to get some guys. I don't want Al Avila spending that money. I'm hoping that he's gone after the season. But I think a lot of people are kind of just thinking about now and not the future. I don't think this rebuild's like over and they have to totally go into another one, but what they can't do is just, you know, they can't be desperate and like make some desperation moves. Al to keep his job and the Tigers to keep this rebuild afloat. You know, it's just going to take longer than we thought. So that's where I stand with the trade deadline. I guess I'll break down some of the other moves and what that means for the Tigers. So right now, when I'm recording this, Frankie Montas has not been traded, but it seems like there's like a deal finalized in place and that he's going to get traded like at minimum tonight. Maybe this is just a rumor so teams can give bigger, better offers, but it doesn't seem like Montas is an A for much longer. So after that, that's when I'd speculate the Tarik Skubal rumors and possible trade and trade discussions would heat up, because, you know, the starting pitching market is really not that strong this offseason, and it doesn't have a ton of high quality guys. And not to mention, I heard this on a different podcast, you don't have to be a contending team to get Skubal. You know, this is a piece that you can build around. If you have a strong farm system, then go get them. You know what I mean? If you're like the Rays, go get them. But anyways, with Skubal, yeah, I'd expect him and Tyler Molly are the two names that I think are going to gain some traction if the team wants like a quality starter. We haven't really seen many reliever trades, but we're beginning to see some more. Garrett Clevenger was just traded. He's kind of just a depth piece. We already saw Chris Martin get traded for a pretty solid return. Zach McKinstry, that's a pretty good deal. The Dodgers had a log jam, and McKinstry wasn't going to get any advance. But that's a solid utility player pickup for them. But outside of that, Ofrost. Yeah, that is a deal of like, that's just what I like teams. That's just a smart team move, you know, for both sides. The Cubs aren't going anywhere. You have a 28-year-old reliever. You get a young prospect, top 10 in your system, who's, you know, a very interesting prospect. And in the Yankees, you're getting a guy who you can have for multiple years, who's very solid, and you can go right into your slide right into your bullpen, and you have him for multiple years, and he's very, very cheap. And the Yankees they did that with Clay Holmes last year too. So they have an experience of getting these. They're really good at getting guys in the fringes and, you know, under the radar guys. Like Clay Holmes came out of, he had really good advanced numbers, but he was pitching in Pittsburgh and no one knew who he was. Now look at him. Same with Nestor. They got Nestor off waivers, and he just turned into an absolute stud. Other trades, you saw Josh Hader get traded. That was pretty interesting. The Padres actually did pretty good in that deal. The Padres have been really bad at trading in the last like couple of years. They get fleeced, especially by smart teams, as Brewers are considered one of the smarter teams, smarter front offices. They really didn't get they got Taylor Rogers, who's a pretty decent downgrade. I don't really know his contract situation, but I don't think he has as much control. Then you get an average, maybe a fourth starter, and I don't remember his name. Hold up, it's probably there. Yeah, Robert Gasser, and then you got Estuary Ruiz, who he's interesting. He's walking a lot. He's got solid discipline in the minors this year, but that came out of nowhere, and he doesn't hit the ball that hard, from what I've heard. So yeah, he's probably like a fourth outfielder. So that's kind of what's happened so far. There's going to be a lot more trades happening today and tomorrow, and I expect the Tigers to make some moves. So tomorrow's going to be a fun day. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. And yeah, I'm definitely going to get on here in a week and break down the moves. And I hope you guys enjoyed.